You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again, as Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this hour, this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman flying solo at the helm here, guiding you through this maze, well, this fog of disinformation, deception, distraction. Speaking of distraction, it's interesting because some people will say, well, the racial conflict that we are facing, that we're seeing right now, it is the distraction away from, oh, I don't know, say the economic collapse, pending, looming economic collapse. No. These are all parts of a stool. These are all legs of a stool. As a matter of fact, when I was speaking with my DHS source, and even back in 2012, 2013, he said, no, it's just not one item. It's just not the racial divide, the racial chaos. It's also, in addition to that, it's the economic takedown of the United States. It's also the political strife, political aspects that are being messed with, and also the external threats. That includes, of course, the mass alien invasion in the United States. Why do you think they're bringing these people into the United States? Why are the gates open? Of course, because many of these aliens are not your mothers and fathers. Of course, we see from the photographs and the demographics. No, these men are warriors. They're gang members, for example, MS-13 gang members and other gang members. There are other than Mexicans coming in. They are diluting the fabric of our society. They're diluting our moral and cultural aspects of our society. But they're also going to become pawns, or are pawns, and going to become players in this particular takedown. So don't look at any one element that we're discussing here as just the sole element of chaos and destruction, because you've got numerous. We are not looking at a single bullet from a sniper's rifle coming at us. We are looking at the BBs from a shotgun coming at us in terms of the threats. And coming up here in just a moment to talk with me about this from a biblical code search perspective is my guest, Jonathan Matthew Wright. His website is thecodesearcher.com. Before we get to Mr. Wright, I had mentioned earlier, I found a great company. If you have a business, even if it's a small business that you've run out of your garage, are you looking to hire someone? Do you know anyone that's looking to hire? Recommend this company, or yourself use this company. Well, even before I tell you, it's ZipRecruiter.com, by the way. But let me ask you, as an employer, as somebody, as a business owner, do you know where to post your job on the internet to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one spot, it's not enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, And it's important to do so, especially in today's environment. You need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. You see, with ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with just a single click of a mouse. You can find candidates in any city, in any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Now, I spent a long time, a couple of hours, actually, on ZipRecruiter.com. And I was impressed with the ease of use. No more juggling emails or phone calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates. You can rate them and hire the right person extremely quickly. You can find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 businesses. That's a lot of businesses using this company. And right now, folks, as a gift to my listeners, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Here's all you need to do. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That is ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And one more time, ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Or just go to Hagman & Hagman and look in the right-hand side there. You'll see the graphic for ZipRecruiter. Click on that. That'll take you to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Try it for free. You've got nothing to lose. So if you are a business owner or you know a business owner, recommend ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Don't wait any longer. Do it today. Folks, I'm very happy to have with me tonight, as our guest, Jonathan Matthew Wright. He's appeared on our program before. He is a Bible code researcher. Now, have you wondered about Bible codes, their legitimacy, their authenticity? Well, I think we've established that Bible codes, in fact, are. Now, they were made famous through films and books and such, but we're talking about the real technique of Bible codes, the real aspect of Bible codes. And one of the foremost authorities in this area is who we have on right now, Jonathan Matthew Wright. His website, thecodesearcher.com. Mr. Wright, thank you for joining me tonight.
Shalom and Erev Tov, Doug. Thank you for having me on your broadcast.
Sure, not a problem. Yeah. Now, before we rush on, I was talking about the racial conflicts, so the race wars, Dallas, Texas, a recent example. And I had gone back to the template that appeared back in the 60s, and specifically with the Nation of Islam back in the 70s. We're seeing this happen again today. What happened back in the 60s and 70s is happening again today.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting that you brought up Louis Farrakhan in your little dialogue there. The very night that event happened, I looked up Dallas Sniper and found it. And it seemed to have a connection to Islam. And at the time in the chat room I was participating at, people were asking, you mean ISIS? And I thought to myself, no, I think this is more like Nation of Islam, Islam, domesticate or American domestic Islam, if you will, the militant branch of American, prison system, reform, whatever you want to call it. There's a high population that come out of there into right in, if and when they are released, right into that racist, doctrine. But yeah, I found a connection to it. I found that interesting that you brought that up, Doug. I don't believe I told you that, did I?
No. See, I'm just that good. How's that? I'm just that good. No, actually, it's something that I've seen in the intelligence briefings that the public don't see. When I say intelligence briefings, I'm talking about the law enforcement bulletins that are shared among people in law enforcement that are not necessarily restricted dissemination, but are mainly kept by law enforcement. And yeah. Farrakhan did come up. So talk to us here. You found it. What's going on here? Is this ethnos versus ethnos? Is this judgment upon America? Help me out here.
Yeah, I believe it's judgment on America. I believe it's a systematic decommissioning and, America falling apart. Absolutely a part of judgment. The interesting thing is we're seeing it in the codes, which just, and sometimes beforehand, which is just completely amazing. When this event happened, I had recalled just a couple of days before this event in Dallas happened. And of course, what happened in Baton Rouge, these white officers killed a black man at point blank range. And then I recalled seeing something with Louis Farrakhan, and his remarks were very militant, very inflammatory. He was saying to kill white people, to kill them before they killed you. And so here we are a couple of days later. I see what's happening, through the internet and the news feeds. And as I'm searching it, that thought comes across my mind. And I immediately found a cluster off to the right. And I apologize, weren't able to get that PDF to you. That's how new this table is. I'm still working on it. But it had race war and the year crossing it off to the right-hand side of that. And with that kind of detail, with Louis Farrakhan's name in there, the name of the shooter, Micah Johnson, is in there. And especially the actual text that these codes are coming in, all prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and each of them seem to be speaking judgment when we see this. So to answer your question, yes, brother, we're absolutely seeing judgment on this country in what we're seeing unfold.
Okay. Now, before we get too far down the road here, for people new to this, people might say, well, wait a minute, what are you guys talking about? How can this be in the Bible? And can you give it like a quick, just a Cliff Notes version of
absolutely
what Bible codes are, and just for people who don't really know?
What we're talking about is equal letter distant sequence, which is a particular type of Bible code. There's more than one. This happens to be an equal letter numbered sequence that seems to have structure and order to it and indicates a divine hand. This has been known about since before Isaac Newton and 1,000 years before him. They were counting letters by hand and finding codes. Fast forward to modern day, a scientist or a mathematician in Israel remembered a story of a mathematician in World War II about in codes in the Bible, and so he tested that theory and wrote an algorithm and found Bible codes or Torah codes. So what I have discovered about it seems to be indicates to me that it's a tool that it aids in the unsealing of sealed books like Daniel and Revelation. Absolutely, the Father had a purpose for it. He put it there. It's based on mathematics, and the fact that these things appear indicate a divine hand in this. There's been 135 different texts that have been checked, and nothing to the caliber of Bible codes can be replicated. So, in a nutshell, it's something that's virtually impossible to happen. It proves the Bible's validity, and is, happens to be a passion of mine now.
Now, this is not something that you can use as a tool to predict the future, but to validate past events, right? Because And one more question to kind of piggyback off that one. It's argued by many that you can find codes in Moby Dick, for example, and you know, all sorts of books. It's you know, so answering that first, how do you respond to that? And then, of course, the other question about validating as opposed to predicting the future.
The way I have seen it in relation to it's a priestly ordination of an ephod, which is a device that was used by the priest and had stones on the chest and some on the shoulders. The priest would go in into the Holy of Holies and ask the Father a question, and the holy fire from the altar would reflect off the letters and communicate back to the priest. Now, we have, not just myself, but some rabbis in Israel have found a connection to the ephod and Bible codes. Now, they do not search anything further than the Torah, the first five books. The way I differ is I look through the whole Tanakh, the whole Bible, and that means the prophets as well. And what I've discovered is the Bible codes play a role in unsealing the sealed books, which they stay away from. They won't touch that. So, and I think that is a big mistake, and it has purpose for the end time.
Right. It's almost like excising an important part of the manuscript out from consideration. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So now, folks, again, our guest is Jonathan Matthew Wright. His website, thecodesearcher.com. And a lot of great information there. And it's interesting because he did send me some PDF files of codes or of subjects, I suppose. And to me, one is just as bad as the next. So let's do some triage here as we're looking at what the Bible code has to say about the time in which we presently find ourselves. Let's back away from the Civil War race issues at the moment, but I think we're going to kind of come back on that because we're going to see it segued when I ask you this question.
Right.
Elections. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. Are there names in there? The elections of 2016, America. What are we facing based on your assessment of the Bible code?
Well, let me just back up and say, during the time of the election of Barack Obama, we were looking at this man having a connection to the man of sin, which there was nothing in the scripture that said that person would come from the United States. But because we had found that, the obvious implication after that was there would not be another American president. So here we are toward the end of this said person's administration, and we're at an election. The thing about Bible codes is incompleteness. This is not a crystal ball. We're not reading the future. All we can go on is basically headlines, historical facts, and what are called priority terms, facts that we know beforehand. Saying that, we didn't know last year or maybe 2 years ago who was going to be running for and what circumstances for president. I do believe the last time I was on your show, it was inconclusive who the nominees would be, but I did indicate to you that that the codes showed that Trump would be the nominee, and they also had the word Nasi or president that was connected to his name. But with that, I told you that could very well have meant, you know, he was a president of his company, which he is. These are certainly left for interpretation as when you're looking at code. So anyway, once it was obvious that he indeed was going to be the nominee, I started searching to see what were the possibilities of finding him or Hillary as being the winner. Now, there was a heredity Jew from Israel that found the code that indicated that Hillary would be the winner. However, I disagreed by looking at his table and at that conclusion, which was Hillary and the word president. Now, here's the thing. She was married to a president. So that could be the connection there to that word in the code. That doesn't necessarily interpret into she would be the next president. So I wasn't convinced. So I looked further, and so I found the term Trump wins. Now, this table seemed to indicate that Trump would get the majority of the vote. But it didn't, still just didn't feel right, especially looking at the polls, and things that were happening with emails and Hillary and how she could manipulate. I had to look whether this could possibly be something that was stolen. For instance, that happened with the Republicans with the Bushes and the Florida counts of the vote. I could see that this could be the tables turned and now this be a Democratic stealing of the election. And indeed, that table, Trump wins. Hillary's name seems to, it comes right down through his access term, his name, connecting to the word president. And at the top, it didn't have the word steals or stolen there. So even with the access term saying Trump wins, it was still inconclusive with the anomaly of Hillary steals. So you could find that table in video form at codesearcher.net on YouTube under Trump wins, Hillary steals.
For those people who are watching this via our YouTube channel, on the monitor next to me here, I've got the table up titled "Trump Wins, Hillary Steals: Bible Code Matrix of End Times Prophecy." Of course, and this gives folks a good visual here, I think, of what you do, and I do know, or you know, how you find these. I'll use the word clues here, in the Bible. And also the proximity of names,
yes,
dates, the different proximity words and such. So folks, you can see this. And also if you go to our guest website as well, which is linked off of Hagman at Hagman.com, but this gives you a good idea. Ladies and gentlemen, of what our guest is looking at and how this is accomplished. Okay, all right. So we're looking at something here at the moment, kind of through a glass darkly, where Trump could very well win, but Hillary ends up taking the White House.
Right, and that's actually apparent in the other Trump table. I don't know if your tech can pull it up, but that is the one that has her name running through the access term itself, which it seemed to indicate to me that she swoops in and to steal the election, especially that one of the letters in her name is actually part of the word Nazi or president in that anomaly. So again, nothing, the codes didn't come with any sort of instruction book when they were discovered. So literally every day in this field, hypothesis and methodology change. It is certainly not here for us to predict the future, but it's there for some reason. I believe it has something to do with sealed books. But again, even with that being said, there is amazing clustering. Well, there you go. There is the actual one that says Trump wins. And you can see Hillary's name in blue sweeping down to the word president in that. And at the top in the orange letters, that from the top blue highlighted verses there, is the word stolen in there as well. So could we see a redo of what happened with the Republican Party and the Bushes? Certainly. I'm not making any predictions here. I'm just saying this is very interesting to look at something like this. As you can see there in the bottom of that table, it says width at a 3704. That is indicating a very small space in these matrices, which is a tight cluster, the probability of something like this happening is just insane. That it's very clear that they're for a reason. We're trying to figure out why they're there every day, and to say this or that as if we have finally figured out, I can't say that we're there yet. That's something we're still trying to figure out, brother.
Yeah, and folks, none of this is, we are not, well, I'm going to be careful on my wording here because, you know, we will, I'm sure, be accused of divination or some weird, something that has nothing to do with anything. When you look at the scriptures and you look at the document and you look at the, you take all of the evidence into account, and I'm classifying the Bible here now as evidence. What I see, at the very least, is a tactic, device, method. I'm not sure what the right word is, but it validates the inerrant word of God. Because how in the world could you possibly have this by accident? And I truly believe that the Bible, to me, the Bible is the most fascinating book in the entire world. But it contains,
I agree,
it contains everything that has happened and will happen. And it's one of the most marvelous mathematical books, physics books. It's just a fantastic book. So this is interesting. So what we're doing here, folks, is having an intellectual discussion about the possibilities here, and of course, nothing more, nothing less. So okay. So all right. So we're looking here at a possibility, and isn't it interesting too, Mr. Wright, that this has been discussed, where Trump could very well win and something would happen where Hillary would end up being the occupant of the White House, and here you find it just in that fashion. I saw the word assassination. I'm not sure which block it was, but I saw the word assassination in there.
Yes.
What was that about?
That seems to be something that follows Trump in each one of these tables. His name does appear several times. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, well, he's running for president. There is a possibility, and especially after the things that he says and his platform about building the wall, there's a danger of someone taking his life.
Sure.
So the word murder, assassination, it does appear. So that's why that is there. So which is, again, it just reflects these possibilities. And one of the X variables of the codes is people have choices. And so the Father has accounted for that in the code. So with these words, we see that just the fact that the danger is indeed there. But again, like I said, it doesn't, you don't need the codes to know that. It's common sense. It's you can actually see it there as well.
Okay.
You see murder there. The table you're showing there now, you can see the word murdered is actually connected to his name. So
it's my understanding too, Mr. Wright, the closer the proximity of words, the
higher the more probability. That's the methodology these rabbis have come up with. But, you know, there's some things that I have found that I disagreed with them about. Like, for instance, they say codes are only in the Torah. So that is clearly somewhere that I disagree with them on, based on findings like Yeshua is my name and Isaiah 53. So when they say this or that, I go and test it and usually make the determination myself whether or not that's a good method or not. But that is generally the method that they go by, which is smallest yip in closest proximity equates a high probability of an event taking place. If that is true, I cannot testify, but I am searching that out. Why I'm looking at these kind of things and to see if indeed that's what it means.
Well, okay. And as we are coming, as we are approaching, for example, both the Republican and Democratic National Conventions for 2016, we're hearing, we're seeing a lot of discord. We're seeing the fact that Black Panthers intend to open carry, for example, at the Republican convention. We're being promised of disruptions.
Yeah.
How does this overlap now? I mean, let's just go ahead and continue. And
this is the thing, brother.
Okay,
we're talking about a one world government, a one world takeover. Now, the thing about America that sets us apart is we have gun toting believers. That are a part of the population. Just ask anyone from Australia what it's like to have those guns taken from you in one day, and all of a sudden you no longer have a say. You just do what you're told, right? So how are you going to do that in America? You cannot get people in to vote. They won't have a job the next day if they did to vote and to take these guns. So what do you got to do? You got to orchestrate something, right? And that's what I see taking place. The racial tensions that is in the air, even the weather, the heat that is in the deep south right now is playing a part in the tension. And they're using this to orchestrate it, I believe, a gun takeover, you know, to take guns away from Americans. Just every one of these massacres, quote, massacres that we see is another one they chalk up to the reason why they're going to do what they're going to do, and that's eventually take the guns and control the population. The other thing that I've seen in the Coase Brother, and you've seen the table there, is the indication of war and FEMA camps.
Yes. Let's definitely talk about that.
Yeah.
And before the show, you and I had a conversation too, and maybe this is a good time to kind of jump into this. FEMA camps, and you had said something, it kind of made me chuckle a little bit, about FEMA camps being like Disney World or Disneyland. Expand on that, because I can see this.
Yeah, the title of that PDF and that video is FEMA camp, Disneyland and FEMA camps. And the way they have this set up is so that anytime something happens that's catastrophic, whether that's a hurricane or war or, you know, martial law, whatever, it's going to be such where people come running to FEMA as if it's Disneyland, as if this is the best thing that could happen to you, when in reality it is the worst thing that can happen to you, because it's essentially like a mousetrap, that these camps. That's how I see it. It's all orchestrated and organized. It's militarized. They do have a plan, folks. I don't know if organizations like Walmart and Target play a role in it. I find it very interesting that they have anomalies taking place in some of these installations, and the fact that Walmart uses some of the most sophisticated facial recognition software. They say it's for loss prevention. But the fact is, you come walking into Walmart, because you've shopped there before, you use your cards electronically, they immediately know who you are, where you live, roughly what you spend every week. They know everything, and they know all this by the time you come to the door and check out. Why do they need to know all of this metadata, and why are they storing it? This is really alarming. And the fact that we're seeing cameras everywhere, brother, UN vehicles on the interstates, is the writing's on the wall. This is, very, very shocking to see taking place, and no one seems to be alarmed in the mainstream.
I'm looking here, and folks, again, watching on YouTube, I'm looking at Operation Disneyland equals FEMA camps. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I see a whole lot of colors, by the way, here. And I see a whole lot of overlaps you know.
By the way, all of those verses highlighted, and this is a very, again, a very small space. Down at the bottom, you see that 8280. That is less than a 10,000 letter matrix. All of these verses are judgment verses from prophecy, and you can see the word FEMA camps in there with modern day terms. Come on. What is it telling us? It doesn't take, like I said, a rocket scientist, just someone with an anointing with the Holy Spirit to look at that and say, this is trying to tell us something.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are you able to discern, for example, a timeline, or better yet, are you able, through your research, are you able to discern the series, the chronology? I guess I would say of events. You know, this would happen, and that would happen, and this would happen, and then that.
Yes, absolutely. We have tried to put this down in some sort of timeline. The best thing that we can do is follow it day by day, looking at headlines. The years that come up happen to be there. The anomaly of these 2 years, 2015, 2016, seem to be the pattern. What they mean, brother, I don't know. We can only, you know, stand and wait and see. But it's a barometer, so to speak, or a bearing, if you will, on prophecy and current events taking place.
Okay. All right. Again, we're talking with Jonathan Matthew Wright, his website. Mr. Wright, go ahead, give out your website, give out your all of your information that related to your website, your YouTube, and give that out. Go ahead.
Sure, yes. You can find me at YouTube at the codesearcher.net is my YouTube channel. You can find me on the internet at thecodesearcher.com. That is our website over there. We do have a training program right now, that there are 4 slots remaining in that school where we are teaching Hebrew, some basic Hebrew, and how to search the code. So if there's any listeners that want to participate in that, there are 4 slots available in that class. So you can find out over at codesearcher.com up at the tabs up the top under apply. But
okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And this is a subscription-based service, university, if you will, for Bible code. So, but definitely inquire if you're interested, especially if you're interested in this. And we were talking about a show that both you and I liked that's no longer on air, Numbers. It's a show about math, and I brought a smile to my face when you were talking about the mathematics, and we aren't talking about math here. We're talking about ELS, the equidistant letter spacing. We're talking about the math everywhere, really. And again, the Bible is a book of mathematics. So
Here's the thing, you know, after the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, Michael Drazen, who wrote the Bible Code book, had a code in there that seemed to predict his death. Now, after the fact, when this happened, Mossad and the NSA took notice. Now, it is a fact. You can find Harold Gans, who's an Orthodox Bible Code researcher. He's also an encryptologist with NSA. They use Bible codes in supercomputers to predict the future. Now, that goes to the conversation we were just having earlier today about that show, which is Numbers, that was on CBS. And that is based on something very similar to what I'm talking about, and that is on an algorithm called the Monte Carlo Method, which is a mathematical formula that runs down through all the possibilities. And so it's a problem solver, if you will. Risk assessment, insurance companies use it for risk assessment.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
the idea that I was talking to you about with this training that I'm doing is coming up with a group of people working as a think tank along that line, the Monte Carlo method, if you will, of searching things out through all, you know, possibilities that you can think of. So we don't have a supercomputer, but we do have brothers and sisters that have an anointing, that have passion, that we can teach these skill sets to, and hopefully get some more codes unsealed. So that was kind of the idea behind that when we were talking about that show.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you, we have something in common with that. Many, that was a fantastic show, but you're right. The, that specific algorithm, that, the Monte Carlo algorithm.
Method.
That, you know, with risk assessment, all of the, I mean, folks, this is fact-based. I mean, things like that are used by major carriers, top, you know, top 100 Fortune 100 companies. I'm kind of interested. You said the NSA is running Bible code program.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. That is the Harold NSA. Gans. Harold Gans is an encryptologist with the NSA, and there's a documentary that's out on Bible codes that he's in, and he clearly identifies himself as such. But yeah, they use these supercomputers, of course, with governments. They're going to use it for weaponization against other countries, against peoples, whatever, and that's exactly what they do, I believe. I think that's how they know beforehand when these events take place. There's always seems to be conveniently a training exercise taking place right around the corner in some instances. How do they know that? It could be that they are, you know, running codes and are trying to, if you will, head something off at the pass.
Or the flip side of that could be something worse, you know, something more nefarious. But isn't that interesting, though? You know, I never really, honestly, I never connected the two, meaning the actual activity of looking at the Bible codes or looking for information within the Bible codes with events like that. At the NSA level and being on site,
we're talking about the same government, and I think there's a George Clooney movie out where in that movie they were doing ESP with goats or something.
Many steric goats. Yeah. Yep.
There you go. So we're talking about the very same government. Maybe decades later, but this is the same government, and that's the kind of thing they do. If there seems to be something metaphysical happening, paranormal, what have you, I believe that they check it out, they take a look at it, and in some cases try to weaponize if they could. The flip side of that, but they also put out a lot of misinformation on things, and I've seen that in this field where there's been code imposters that have come out putting out a bunch of misinformation, false predictions, and it was just really bad methodology that seems, you know, to be, to me, simply misinformation, just to muddy the water of the field.
And boy, I'm so glad you brought that up, because we have that in every venue. In anything that we do in the independent media, it seems, for example, whether it be TWA Flight 800, you know, we had Jack Cashel talking about that in here. And of course, we off air, we talked about the misinformation that's put out deliberately by the government or by others acting on behalf of the government. The same thing with things like the Vince Foster murder. So you're seeing it too in your area.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, and you know, especially when you have things like, you know, we were very close. I wasn't trying to predict any kind of future event, but when we had the comet that came close to Mars, We had the word collides come up here in there like over a year before the event happened, brother. I was hammering this thing. There was going to be a deep impact. Of course, that word was not there. It came and went. There was no deep impact, which was the distraction of that. But there was a collision. You know, these kinds of things, the Ariel Sharon death, we were showing 3 weeks before he died after being in a coma for almost 8 years. 3 weeks before he died, it was in the codes that he would die because of this in that year. But no coverage on that. But right after that is when I started seeing these other, you know, so-called code searchers pop up with all these predictions of a rapture this and rapture that, and all these predictions, you know, month after month. And it became clear to me that this was reckless misinformation being put out and nothing more. And so that was kind of something I've had to combat, you know, here on YouTube. There's, of course, no regulation, so what do you do? You put out truth, and then other people put out misinformation, and then the viewers have to weed through all of that to find the truth. And, you know, that's the nature of the
and see, that, and folks, this is what we've tried to do, and I try to do. The gentleman that I'm speaking to today, Jonathan Matthew Wright, I had met him face-to-face, and there's nothing better than meeting someone face to face. I have to tell you, in terms of vetting someone, okay, maybe someone might ask me, well, what, you know, what makes your guest the foremost expert, not a misinformation or disinformation agent? Well, a lot of things, including a face to face meeting and understanding, getting to know that person, but also, how would you respond to that?
Well, you know, who would go through the kind of, for instance, when I first came on your show and we were talking, you know, I just did True News with Rick Wiles, and you know, we were talking about Obama, and Rick Wiles' office was trash. I was followed by a helicopter for a couple of days, and I had the conversation with you. You know, there you may get some flack from having me on, and indeed, that's exactly what we see. Who would go through that kind of stuff and endure it and keep going if they didn't believe in what they was doing? It's obviously a passion. Nobody would put up with that kind of harassment and you know, danger. You know, there is a danger to this, brother, even with what you and Joe did. Not too long ago, a YouTuber was killed. The young lady from The Voice. This was somebody that saw them on YouTube, man, on mainstream TV. They didn't like them and their ideology, and they wanted to end their life. You and I face those same kind of dangers when we go to these conferences and such, where the same kind of thing could happen. You would forbid. To one of us, those are the kind of things you have to keep in the back of your mind doing this. This world, people are, you know, demonized.
You know, yeah, that's a very good point, and that's one thing I've noticed. There is a ratcheting up of when you were on True News with Rick Wiles, and I had spoken to Rick off air about what was taking place, and folks, you'll never hear really the half of what Rick has gone through with respect to the I don't even want to say harassment, because it's much more than that, and of course others involved in the independent media, you know, we're constantly looking over our shoulders. So to me, in addition to everything else, when you, sir, are the target of others' wrath and harassment, that does have a tendency to validate you as a source as well, okay, in kind of a left-handed sort of way, but nonetheless, in a validation. And you've had your share of issues as well.
Absolutely. You know. And you know, and I take that with a little bit of, you know, to think about it, in all seriousness, that is a huge responsibility. For instance, the topic of the Clintons. There's a lot of bodies that follow these people. And I admire people like Larry Nichols, which is a former Clinton advisor, a man dying of cancer. But, you know, he doesn't let death deter him. He speaks out on truth and in spite of the dangers. So, you're right. Those are the kind of things we have to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, now, Mr. Wright, I'll tell you what, we've got about 4 minutes to the top of the hour. I'd like to keep you for another segment after the top of the hour, if that's okay with you ahead of time.
Sure, absolutely.
I wasn't sure if you had a hot date or whatever. Okay, all right. So, having said that, in the run-up to the break, in a couple of minutes, what are you looking at now that's relevant that could, we could talk about it, you know, when we come back, but give us kind of a teaser what you're looking at now that may have an impact on us soon.
Sure, absolutely. I think this martial law thing that hangs over us, we're looking for a trigger, something that's going to trigger this, and that's kind of the thing I'm concerned about, because that's what they want. They want martial law. They want to take the guns. They can't do anything until then.
Thank you. Okay. Well, we go figure, huh? All right. We lost our guest. We lost our guest, but we'll get him back. And as a matter of fact, we'll get him back at the top of the next hour, perhaps with a different form of communication. But folks, what we're talking about here is Bible codes, and of course, most of our audience are familiar with Bible codes. And it's interesting to me when I looked at Jonathan Matthew Wright's latest work. I'm looking at these Bible codes and I'm seeing a whole lot of stuff. I mean, look at this. If you know, on the monitor here, look at the FEMA camps. Look at Hillary Clinton. Look at the elections. I mean, all of this. Isn't it something? And he had talked about the disinformation and such that has been put out there, and the glamorization that was made through others, through the Hollywood mechanism and through the print media and such. All right, do we have you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay. Isn't that interesting how you just kind of dropped
off? Interesting how that and where that is. You know, that is, we see that, incidentally, all the time, in important moments where you're speaking about a certain subject, and you're clicked, you're gone like that.
Yeah, we'll just kind of converse until the top of the hour, but we had Josh Tully. I had Josh Tully co-hosting with me last week, and he said, you know, I do a lot of radio shows everywhere, and he said, I never have many. I don't have any problems with connectivity, and except on your show, and I take that kind of like a badge of honor. I wear that with a badge of honor. Many people early on said, "Oh, you guys are amateurs. You guys are nobodies." You know, but the more we got into things like the Bible code, the more we got into things, and especially talking about the Clintons and such. Boy, the more things started happening. And you can only say, well, you know, it's a technical snafu so many times. And then things start looking a little bit weird. By the way, folks, our guest again, Jonathan Matthew Wright, his website, thecodesearcher.com. Visit his website. And from there, you can see and you can access the very documents that we're showcasing here tonight. And don't forget, folks, he has his own, well, I don't know, university, college of knowledge of Bible code, that you got 4 slots open for students, shall we say, right? 4 slots left.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. We knew we could handle 24, so that's what we're sticking at right now. We may do more later. But we're trying to pass these skill sets off to other people.
Sounds great. Well, when we come back, let's hit some really meaty subjects, including war. Is there war? Is there perhaps an invasion in our future? What does the Bible code say about that? Folks, we're going to be right back. Stay right where you are. Doug Hagman, Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay right there.
Star Radio Network.